lost it.
Okay. That's song number 273. Brother Jim has our Vesper service, which we all got up close for. So.
And I hope it works. I'm trying to reboot the computer. It didn't come out of standby on me. Let's see if we turn on that lamp. The slides are left here.
put it in suspend mode, and it didn't come out of suspend mode. Had to start everything back up again.
Did you see it from there, Brother George? Did you see it? I could get another chair like this one up here from this office.
Yeah. Brother George, you want to come over here?
Yeah, we'll sit down.
Reaching the summit. I have to apologize in advance for some of the slides. I'm not a very good photographer, but some of the slides just kind of work, and some were kind of a stretch, but hopefully you'll understand. Anyway, for months, sometimes years, we plan a journey. We decide on a destination. We decide when we want to be there. And then we make plans on how to get there and what we'll need along the way. This present life is a journey. And where it leads depends on our vision of the destination we are aiming for. The preparation we make to get there and the route that we take and how well we execute those plans. Many just go through life haphazardly, not really knowing what they're doing or where they are going. But for some, there's an unquenchable desire to do something extraordinary. Travel the world. Build a skyscraper. Win an Olympic medal. While still others just climb a mountain. Anything to give meaning to life, a purpose for living, and a goal to be obtained. The problem is most never accomplish their ambitions, and the ones that do find them transitory. This search for meaning or purpose, this longing, this craving, hunger, this calling, if you will, usually goes unfulfilled for most, at least in this present life. But how about with us, brethren? What is our vision? Isn't it to be filled with the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of a sound mind, the Spirit of love and holiness, the Holy Spirit? We, brethren, have come to realize this as the only worthwhile goal. This is the only worthwhile destination. We are privileged to find the trail to this ultimate summit. As an analogy to our Christian journey, let's climb a mountain together. This is Long's Peak in Rocky Mountain National Park. Powell, a great explorer, and his party of explorers were the first ones on record to ever successfully climb it. He quoted as calling it an insurmountable mountain after making several attempts, but with persistence, he finally discovered a way up. You might want to remember that lake at the bottom just for future reference. Even though we see through a glass darkly, we see that heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, the kingdom, when the intended purpose of every living being will be fulfilled and all will be in harmony with its creator. That's picture from the top of Masada, looking down at the Dead Sea. We'd like to call on Christy for reading a poem. If you need this.
If I shall stand within those jasper walls, and hear the voice of my beloved Lord, and be like him, and see his face so dear, then I must reach the mark of perfect love, and fix my heart on things above. I must trust him for grace in time of need. Upon his written word, my soul must feed. And I bear my cross, though 'tis with feeble hand, ere I dare hope within those walls to stand.
The question remains, how do we get there? To reach the summit, what do we have to do? We have to take a journey and before we can take the journey, what do we need to do? We need to count the cost. We have to decide to go, and we have to get prepared. First of all, we have to consider what it's going to take and if we are willing to pay the cost. Our earthly homes, jobs, vacations, securities, friends and family, our present pleasures, all are right there. Kind of reminds me of what it must have been like when Satan took up Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. Are you willing to give it all up? We have to change our perspective, a spiritual vision must replace the fleshly realities. We're not sure what's out there or what lies ahead. We know not what we shall be. As we mentioned before, we only see through a glass darkly. We, for a large part, are giving up the known for the unknown. It leaves a lot to the imagination, doesn't it? The Lord requires us to make a leap of faith, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. We can't be conformed to this world. we have to be transformed. Let us sing together hymn number 32. The words will be on the slide, or for those that can't see the print, you'll need to follow in your books. Along the way. We're going to need to have a map and a compass. We need scriptural direction and guidance. We need to understand the blueprint or the plan of the ages. But even with these, many times we don't know which way to turn. There are many forks in the road. Sometimes the trail seems to fade out. Sometimes we need a way, or we know the way, but how about a little detour once in a while? That way looks interesting. Or we could go down this way. That's much easier. It's always easier to go downhill. Or we could come back where we came from. Or we could maybe continue up the path. It's times like these that we must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. We have to watch for signs, marks indicating the way. Isaiah 30:21. And thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Don't get distracted or lost along the way. If this is a bigger slide, you can see there's a bullseye right there. There's another one right up here. And most people would actually go this direction around that rock. And that is a very critical juncture in this hike. We're going to call this our armor. Something to shield us from the elements. Our darts and arrows, as we're more used to calling them, from the adversary. Climb Long's Peak. We need to be able to adapt to many different weather conditions. Cold, hot, wind, rain, maybe even snow. This is accomplished by what's called layering, with lightweight, specialized clothing. A water-resistant, breathable windbreaker. Micro fleece. Ultraviolet protecting shirt. Wicking undergarments. And nothing that's going to weigh us down. Something that'll dry fast if it gets wet. No cotton. Looks are not important here. It's only our character that's essential. We have to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. 2 Peter 1:5-8. And Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. You might say to yourself, it's 90 degrees outside. I won't need to carry all of this stuff. I think I'll just leave it at home. But guess what? You could run into a foot of snow at the summit. Hypothermia is the number one killer of outdoor recreationists. If you don't have your right armor, you're an open target for you-know-who. Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. worth it to put that backpack on. You're going to need a good light. The climb of Long's Peak, we're going to have to start while still night in order to reach the summit before the inevitable noonday storm. We don't want the storm of the great time of trouble to overtake us short of reaching our goal. But the problem with climbing at night is you can't see where you're going. All of those who find the narrow way and walk therein must use a lamp and walk circumspectly. We need to examine every step so we don't stumble. If you were to stumble off of this hill, you'd be 1,000 feet before you hit the bottom. Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let us sing together hymn number 297. Words will be on the screen. it's important to eat protein. That'll sustain you for long stretches, as well as carbohydrates at every rest stop. Otherwise, you'll suddenly find you don't have energy, and you'll start to lose the desire to continue. And what is our meat in due season? It's the doctrines provided by our returned Lord through that faithful and wise servant, Matthew 24:45. And of course, water. Truth. Pure water. Nothing sugar-based. No Gatorade. You can have a little bit of Gatorade, but I recommend water. Some ideas seem sweet and give us a sudden burst of energy. But as with sugar, high and lofty ideas are short-lived and will bring you crashing down. The number one cause of altitude sickness is dehydration. In Colorado, it's the number two killer of outdoor enthusiasts. Without water, you won't make it out alive. To make this 7.5-mile one-way trip with a 5,000-foot elevation gain, an average climber is going to need to drink 144 ounces. Well, for somebody my size. You weren't given all of this truth at the end of this age for nothing. It's vital in our combat against error. We will be deceived if we don't continually refresh ourselves with the pure water of life at every opportunity. If you'd like for Sean to read us a poem.
Cooling Streams. While cooling streams are far away, yet for them pants the heart. So longs my soul for thee today, my God, for love thou art. And thou from purest source dost give truth's water full and free. I drink, I rise, O joy I live, my praise ascends to thee.
Next on the list is a first aid kit. Not only do we have to or have the best first aid kits available in Precious Promises, but we also have the greatest physician in the world by our side to get us through any emergency. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. And you got it. Something to carry it all in. A backpack. I liken this to our earthly tabernacle. One only gains the summit by climbing up on the rough trail of the Christian life, not by being airlifted to the top by a helicopter. How are you going to gain the experiences needed if you don't have a body? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Take care of yourselves. Get in shape. Glorify God in your bodies. Be an overcomer. Everyone has to have his own supplies. You can't rely on anyone else's. You have to make the truth your own. You also have to pick up that pack and carry it on your back. Does this remind you of something? Maybe bearing your cross? This is one of those slides I have to apologize for. I couldn't find the one I wanted. Most important, we need traveling companions. One of the first safety rules in hiking is never hike alone. Hikers gain inspiration, encouragement, and help when needed. Only by having our Lord as our guide and our brethren as companions are we able to make the journey. Let us sing together hymn number 303. Giving poor Brother George a workout here. To mind is, I'm out of the woods. I can now sit down, relax, and watch the sunrise. The view is spectacular. It doesn't get any better than this. All the wonderful blessings that are unfolding right before our eyes. Knowledge being increased. Abundance and luxuries like never before. We may think we'll never have this opportunity again to enjoy ourselves and all this world has to offer. I'll just take this little break. Maybe tomorrow, or next week, or next year, or even when I retire, I'll really buckle down and sacrifice the flesh and its interests. But for now, I'll just indulge in the pleasures of this world a little longer. When we get our first glimpse of the keyhole, our next goal, There's nothing Satan would like better than to detain us from it. But we realize that we need to reach that point by 8 a.m. in order to summit on time. Even though it may not look that far away. Can't even tell that it's a keyhole right there, but it's right there. It's going to be very slow going. There's a boulder field that must be traversed. The keyhole becomes clearer and clearer as we move toward the top. And there's no other way up but through the keys of the scripture. And you can make it out a little bit better there. The closer we get, the bigger the boulders are to climb over. And the incline gets exponentially steep. You can see the people. Those little dots, those are people. So it gives you an idea of how big those rocks are. We have to exert an enormous amount of energy to overcome our trials and temptations. And we have to make a serious effort in order to understand the keys so we'll be able to step through and see clearly what lies ahead. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. As soon as you step through the keyhole, this is the view. What a view it is. You can see forever. And now we have a much clearer view of immortality. A clear vision of the ultimate worthy goal. One that leads to life. We made it through the keyhole. We have an understanding of life that no one else has. But we have to remember, we still have this vision in earthen bodies. We still have over a mile to go and over 1,000 feet to climb. We are now on the ledges. And we must watch our every step. Very disheartening when we see that you must descend over 500 feet before getting. We have to keep moving along these ledges toward the trough. Trough starts way down here. You have to go all the way up that trough. It's another gateway that we must traverse in order to summit. It's very rocky and steep. It's a closer view of it. It's very disheartening when you see that you actually have to go down after all of that climbing. If you're up here, you have to actually descend all the way down to here before, because you can't get around all of this. Sometimes we think that we've made excellent progress and that we're doing so good. But it's at times like these that we may actually be losing ground, that you will have to regain. Sometimes the Lord permits us to go through humbling experiences and provides necessary trials to get us around obstacles in our character. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Once at the bottom of the trough, you look up and suddenly you feel every muscle in your body aching. And you feel so weary that you get very discouraged. It seems that every step requires more strength than you have. And the streaks of pain that you get each time you stumble seems more than you can bear. Let us sing together hymn number 222, To the Rock. Turn back here. You know why? They didn't learn the secret yet. It's all perception. It's plenty wide enough, and it's fairly level. This is not a technical climb. Believe it or not, a 6-year-old child has actually made this climb. What was the song that you just sang? Don't lose your perspective. Look toward the rock. Hold on to the rock. It's the only thing that makes any difference. If you look anywhere else, you'll become unsure of yourself and will not be able to go on. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm not sure if you can see the people a lot right there. But, you know, you can walk by along there all the way to here. And I can't see where you go from there, but there is a way. But it's a long way down. And finally, the home stretch. The top is now in sight. We're not there yet, but we know we can make it now. Yes, it's steep, but it's just like going up a ladder. 10,000 people a year do this climb. Isn't that incredible? Line must be laid upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. We'd like to have Sister Sandy read for us the retrospect.
With patient heart and plodding feet, the traveler climbs the mountainside and looks around for some retreat, where, sheltered from the noonday heat, he may a while abide. And now before him he espies a cool and quiet resting place, in whose delightful shade he lies, and downward looks with curious eyes, his steep ascent to trace. So climbing up life's rugged hill, I pause a while and turn to view, with wondering eye, the much of ill and danger which God's wondrous skill has brought me safely through. I mark the distant spot from whence the upward pathway ran, and how with happy confidence, with vision keen and zeal intense, my journey then began. And there by yonder deep abyss, my heart was sore afraid, when I in watchfulness remiss had stumbled down the precipice. But for his timely aid, reviewing thus his loving care, fresh hope inspires my soul. I rise, and with the staff of prayer, press onward to the city fair, my everlasting goal.
Here's the top. Top at last. 14,255 feet. Or, you could say, 144,001 are up there. Toil and weariness incidental to the mortal, frail earthen vessel is now complete. And once on the top, we meet all those that have gone before, beyond the veil, with our Lord, and to see Him face to face, to see Him as He is, and all the body members of which you are a part. What a glorious reunion it'll be. Together with Him that formed the mountains and created the wind, and declareth unto man his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, this is his name, Revelations 14:13. Blessed are the dead, which died in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. All those that made it to the summit, those enlisted in the services of the kingdom, while in their flesh, are now qualified guides and will, like Moses when he came down from the mountain after his inspirational meeting with God, now beyond the veil of flesh and having entered into the glorious reign of their Lord, will come down to the groaning creation, down to that lake that we passed, the Dead Sea, if you will, and guide those people back into harmony with their Creator, from which all blessings will flow for all ages to come. Is this a worthy cause? Is this the desire of your hearts? Is the commitment worth it? May his care surround. God bless you daily in the way that leads to realms of life and light, that you may follow in his steps who went before us in the night. Of his eternal strength and grace, whose will no obstacle can thwart, may you in confidence and hope go forward ever in your heart. May peace and joy and hope abound, and may his care your path surround. May the Lord add his blessing.
That's quite a stirring PowerPoint. Pictures of it were beautiful. The story was such that I'll never look at my walk the same way again. Really, really beautiful. Thank you, Brother Jim. Our final song is going to be song number 127. Thank you.
attracted attention, inviting his delay. His watchword still was onward, yet swifter did he run. Still shouting as he journeyed, deliverance would come. Then comes the victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory we shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was bending low. He'd overtop the mountain and reached the hill below. He saw the golden city, his everlasting home, and shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then
servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Romans 6:22. These are wonderful words of life indeed. They inspire us with hope. If God will accept perfect heart intentions instead of the absolute perfection of the flesh, then indeed we have a hope of attaining to the standard which he has marked for us, the standard of perfection. We can walk out after or according to the Spirit. So far as our mortal bodies are concerned, we cannot walk up to that Spirit's requirements. But our minds can walk according to the Spirit. Our intentions can be perfect. And what our Heavenly Father seeks in us is perfection of intention and as perfect control of our flesh as possible. Romans, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Romans 6:22. Well, it's the end of the day, and we've had a great day today. I don't know if you, I'm certain you all feel the same way. I know it's been a real blessing today. And all of the brethren that had parts, we truly appreciate everything that was said and done here today. And all the encouragement that we've had, it's been a real blessing. We still have one more day. We'll be starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, so y'all get home, get some rest, and come back chipper and ready to go. If you'll close and release us.
Loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to bring us out into this oasis of fellowship and comfort and love. thy word. We know that you're with us each and every day along the way. There are many times when there's only one set of footprints, and we know that we're being carried. Forgive us for these times and all of our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Help us to learn, grow, be strong, and reach that ultimate goal of being an overcomer, making our calling and election sure. Pray a blessing upon the evening, upon this home, upon the travels of the brethren. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
By the way, I counted 19. If anybody counted more than that, so far we've got 19.
Here.
I don't know if I get
Get rid of the doormat.